From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. CAL FIRE continues to make gains against the Camp wildfire burning in Butte County. Thousands, however, remain evacuated as the town of Paradise and surrounding communities were incinerated in a firestorm last week. Not everyone evacuated when strong winds pushed that fire into a rapidly spreading inferno. Some, tragically, were trapped or simply couldn't leave their homes for various reasons. Others, like our next guest, chose to stay behind, and in this case, had set up a plan to do so years in advance. Joining us to talk about how he and his wife, Kathy, survived the firestorm is Dr. Douglas Houston. He's the chancellor of the Yuba Community College District. Dr. Houston, welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
And we should mention, you're calling from, or we're talking to you from within the fire zone right now. You're on a cell phone?
That's correct, yeah. I'm at my home inside what is called the Lower Neal Road Zone, south of Paradise.
Tell us about the moment when that fire moved onto your property. What was going through your mind?
A lot of planning still. I was trying to assess how the fire was coming in and sort of delegate out tasks to my wife and I as to how we would fight it as it came in. We weren't sure until it got real close exactly how, whether it would come up a canyon that's to the east of our home or straight down the ridge line to the north of our home. Or a little canyon off to the west, and as I was able to monitor it coming in, then we were able to kind of deploy our resources. So mostly, I think, just thinking and planning, not any real time other than that to react to it.
To be afraid, and this is not something that you just decided on the spur of a moment.
No, we're going to stay behind.
No, you've been planning for years.
No. Well, we've lived in this house for 20 years. We've known since we bought this property and moved out here that we were pretty isolated. We knew that if a fire like this came in, that we would have to be the lowest priority for the firefighting resources. We knew that. So we've been preparing. We've cleared acres around our house. We have ample water storage, a generator. We own our own fire pumps. We own our own fire-resistant clothing, tools, and smoke masks. You know, we'd given this a lot of thought, and I knew as this fire came in, I knew that the absolute safest place for us would actually to be here rather than trying to evacuate.
And because you and your wife, Kathy, did stay behind, you didn't just take care of your own home, but you helped out neighbors as well.
Yeah, well, as the next day, we fought the fire really till about 2 or 3 in the morning, fighting spot fires around our house and several homes to the south of us. And then the next day, we went out to survey the damage on our road. We're on about 2 miles of private road south of Paradise, and probably about 2 dozen homes along in here. And that's when we started gathering up our neighbors' livestock and penning them up, horses, goats. Even found a neighbor's pig and lots of chickens. We have lots of chickens out here on our ridge. And so we've just now what we've been doing is staying in touch with our neighbors, taking care of their animals, patrolling their homes, locking things up if they need us to, keeping them apprised of the status of their properties.
So being within the fire zone and being there the entire time and having access to the news and that sort of thing, is there anything that you're hearing in reports that doesn't match up with what you experienced firsthand?
No, we certainly were not in the town of Paradise, and we've only barely ventured up into it. What little we've seen certainly matches all of the pictures and descriptions that we've seen on the internet. On our ridge, we probably lost maybe half of the homes, which is nothing compared to what actually occurred up in town. I would say that we're really pleased that the law enforcement and the first responders have been able to stay focused up in Paradise. We haven't seen much of them, but we didn't want and didn't expect that they would need to take the time to come down our way. Those that we've interacted with have just been fabulous, and we've been thrilled to chat with law enforcement, firefighters from all over the state, and just really proud of how hard they're working to support everybody up here.
The opportunities you have taken to venture out and observe some of the damage, what's it like for you living up there as long as you have? Is it eerie to see it in its current condition?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'll say this as a combat veteran, so I can't say this lightly. It is, it really does look like, you know, you hear the phrase war zone. It's easy to take that lightly, but it does really look like that. And the hard part, of course, is that even those areas that we've driven, we know people whose homes now have been destroyed. We've been able to contact them. In some cases, we brought them the first news. Often they already knew. Our church was a pretty iconic picture of our church burning on the first day. So our entire congregation is now down in Chico. Those that are accounted for, we're starting to learn that some of our members may not have survived. And so that's hard. These are people that we've known for decades, friends. I would say certainly eerie, disheartening. Frustrating. It's very sad, obviously. I think there's also some hope. You know, many of our neighbors have other family members up in town who lost homes, and they've been able to get out to see us as we've rescued their animals. And I think they're starting to develop a sense of hope as well, sort of coming out of the, you know, the initial shock and thinking about how they'll go about rebuilding and redoubling their commitment to do so.
And are you hearing that most people will rebuild, that this is a place where they've called it their home and they want to continue to do that?
Yes, in general. You know, we're hearing stories of people, even potentially some of our own congregation members who are elderly and might just choose to relocate to live with family in some other part of the state or some other state. But most of the people that we've spoken with have just absolutely committed to staying. To a person, they've all said that they just really love this town of ours, and they want to be part of its future.
You and Kathy survived the Humboldt Fire, which affected Paradise, a decade ago.
Yeah.
Was that the impetus for you preparing so well for this next one?
I would say it's certainly, we learned a lot of lessons from it, and we redoubled our efforts. So we had already cleared several acres around our house, and we had one pump and a small generator at the time. We successfully defended our property then. That fire actually caused more harm on our road than this fire did. But we collected our lessons learned after that, and we installed a larger generator, which is running our house now. I bought a second fire pump. And then probably the biggest investment for us was there was a vacant and undeveloped parcel to the north of us that I knew was the greatest risk. After the Humboldt Fire, we had put out spot fires and dropped burning trees for really almost a week on that property. And 2 years ago, we were blessed to be able to just purchase it. And we've been clearing it ever since. We've probably cleared about a third of it, all heading north from our house. And so when this fire came in, and it came in right along that ridge, it stopped pretty much dead at the point where we had stopped clearing. And so what that left us with was all we had to do was fight the embers that were flying in from the fire. And that was something that was managed at that point. So, yes, I would say the Humboldt Fire especially was just, it reinforced some lessons and it gave us some new ones, and it redoubled our commitment to being better prepared.
You were just
We've had a number of fire officials come out over the years, look at our place and say that, you know, the word they would shelter in place as well. They felt that we were well defended.
So with the amount of defensible space that you have around your house, I imagine not everyone can do that. They don't have the expansive property that you do.
How do you
deal with shade in the summer? Like there's no trees right there, right?
Well, no, actually, we have strategically located trees to the west, and we use some passive systems to the east and south. We have awnings and called shade sails, those kinds of things, which
right.
We dropped Thursday morning very early on as the fire just started to grow. Our first step was to drop all of those, get them out of the way, and then from there to deploy the rest of our resources. So, but no, you're right. We're really fortunate to have as much space that we have control over to be able to clear it the way that we have. And really, as a consequence, then the three houses to the south of us were also pretty shielded from the fire. All of us have cleared. The Humboldt Fire, I think, taught this entire little neighborhood the importance of keeping properties cleared. And when folks rebuilt after the Humboldt Fire, they just didn't allow things to grow other than very strategically planted trees. And no ladder fuel to speak of.
We're speaking with Yuba Community College District Chancellor Dr. Douglas Houston about surviving the campfire at his home. He and his wife, Kathy, prepared their property in Paradise by keeping defensible space and buying firefighting equipment. They stayed behind as the fire burned homes around theirs, successfully defending their own house. And Doctor, I have to ask you, as the leader of a community college, a lot of people look up to you. Do you feel that staying behind when an evacuation was ordered sets a good example?
I do, especially, but only under our circumstances. So I'm still able to support my college district, I'm able to work in ways that I probably wouldn't have been able to had we evacuated. But our assessment was based on our own circumstances. You know, everyone has to make that choice for themselves. We knew we'd had affirmed from, as I said, numerous fire officials that we were well prepared. Certainly anyone who doesn't have that that opportunity, who hasn't been able to prepare to the depth and expense that we have, should heed the evacuation warnings certainly heed the evacuation orders. But I think under the circumstance, I think really that if there's leadership that we've shown through this, it's been in our preparation, in our anticipation of this, and in not wanting to add to the burden of the first responders as they're trying to support those who didn't have the means to prepare in ways that we did.
Even with all of your planning, if the fire had reached a point where you realized it was a losing battle, did you have an escape route available to you?
Yeah, we had several alternate plans. Actually, we had our cars loaded, all of our animals in kennels in a box trailer, all out on our pasture, which is eaten down to dirt. And I think probably no way that we would have had to worry about losing the vehicles. There's at least one route that I know out of here. I'd probably be cutting some people's fences and gates to get out. We knew that we have some walking trails that we, if we have to. We also have a swimming pool, and so we had several strategies. We thought we could also just hunker down in the pool. There's really no trees around it to speak of, and even if the house went, then we'd still be fine. So we had worked out several alternative strategies as well. We've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. We hear about the shrinking rainy season in California and the warmer temperatures. And then, of course, more people moving into what were previously wildland settings. Do you think the risks of living in these wildland urban interface areas has gotten worse, or has it always been a possibility that this could happen?
I think it's always been a possibility. When we first moved up here and moved to this specific site, we did a lot of research. Neither my wife nor I are originally from California. We met in Southern California. So when we moved up here, we started doing some research. I think the danger has always been with us. But I do agree. I think it's exacerbated because more and more people are choosing this lifestyle. Other than days like today, we have stunning views. We have wonderful neighbors that we know well. We live in a pretty secluded lifestyle, so it's quiet, it's the lifestyle that we choose. But it does mean that we're now putting ourselves at greater risk. We're farther away from public services and the like. So those are choices that we made. But I think your point is a good one. More and more people are choosing to do so, and so you'd acknowledged earlier that I'm an educator. Some of my colleagues and I around the state are already starting to put together some ideas for how public education, higher education, can contribute to the education of people that choose to live in these environs. I mean, it's, you know, more and more people are choosing the rural lifestyle for their family's sake. But it does mean that now we need to start to find some education solutions that they might not otherwise have access to. How to work as a neighborhood to prepare, those kinds of things.
Doctor, do you think fire safety should be a required class at the community college level?
Oh, what an interesting idea. You just put a bug in my... I'd not given that a whole lot of thought. I was really thinking more in terms of the kind of education and outreach that we provide in our communities. You know, our education goes beyond just what we do in our classrooms with our students. We're community colleges, especially, are leaders in their in the rural communities. We're the only institutions of higher education, and so our communities really look to us to be those kinds of education and providers and leaders. And I think it's an opportunity for us to really step up our game. And I know that my colleague here at Butte College, Samia Yacoub, the president. Her college is now recovering in ways that my own colleges have had to struggle during the fires in Lake Camp at Lake County, colleges in Santa Rosa and Redding and Napa areas, and now Ventura. And we're all comparing notes as to what we can be doing, not just to support our students and our employees, that's a first priority, but then what we can be doing to support our communities.
Before we let you go, you're the first person we've had an opportunity to speak with who is physically in the fire zone as we speak with them. What can you see from your home right now? It sounds like you're on a hillside.
We're on a ridge overlooks the ordinarily. What can I see? Smoke.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, we look out over the North Sacramento Valley. We're about 2 miles south of the southern edge of Paradise, so we really don't see the town of Paradise ordinarily anyway.
I wasn't sure how thick the smoke is still up there. A lot of it's moved into the Bay Area and the Sacramento Valley. I wasn't sure if at the fire site maybe it was going straight up and then shooting off, you know, to these other areas, but it sounds like it's still really thick where you are.
Yeah, it has been really since the day after the fire. The air quality's been... And pretty poor, smoke's very thick. Our visibility is probably down to a quarter of a mile at the most. Well, actually, I'm going to say less than that because I can't see a ridge that's a quarter of a mile away from me right now.
Oh, wow. Well, the team at Insight and here at Capital Public Radio certainly wish you and your wife and your neighbors, the community up there, the very best in this period of recovery. And thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. And my thanks to you and everyone else that's just pouring out all of their time and talent to try and provide support for everyone who's been displaced and for those that are still within this the evacuation zones. Thank you.
Yuba Community College District Chancellor Dr. Douglas Houston, thanks again for being on Insight. And we'll have more information on our website at capradio.org/insight. All the wildfire information you need is at capradio.org/wildfire. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, your NPR station.